I know some of you like me, the first time I came into an atmosphere like this, I had come out of a denominational church where everybody was like this. And I walked into an atmosphere like this. And listen to me. At first, I was like, what in the world is this? And I saw a guitar on the platform. I saw drums on the platform. And the only place I had ever seen those things were in concert while I was just getting wasted. Okay? So I thought, what in the world is this? You know? And then the more I watched people worship, all of a sudden there was in my heart a praise began to arise. Because I was just newly born again. I had just received Jesus as the Lord of my life. And all I was used to was just the tradition. And that day, that Sunday, I'll never forget it. Never forget it. That Sunday, the next thing I know, I started putting my hands together. And there was, I don't know how to explain it other than like a river that came up from my very being. I know what it is now. I know it's the Holy Spirit. But there was like a river that came up. And the next thing I know, I had never raised my hands in my life unless one of my teammates had scored a touchdown and I was standing on the sidelines because I played defense and I was going, yes! Touchdown! But I remember, listen, this is the craziest thing in the world. Hold this for me, Terrell, real quickly. Please. So I'm standing there, so I started clapping my hands, and all of a sudden it just exploded on the inside of me. And so much that people turned around and looked at me, and I was like this, and I went, touchdown! Because Jesus just scored a touchdown. I didn't know anything about praise and worship then. But listen, when I left and I went back to where I was, where my mom and dad was, and I sat in that service the next Sunday, I was like, okay, something's totally... This is totally different. And then I went back to that church the next Sunday, and everybody was clapping, and I said, I am home. I am home. There is freedom. There is liberty. I knew the Spirit of God was in that place. It was absolutely amazing. But that's how God changed my life. God gave me life. I didn't have life. I was dead in my sin. I was separated from God. And I didn't even know what life was about. I tried to create my own life. I tried to create things. I tried to do things like the world told me to do. And with my education and reading all of the self-help me books and leadership books and all this, trying to get ahead, trying to do the things I need to, you know, to do to try to create what I thought would be my success. And no matter what I achieved or accomplished, it was still empty. And I thought, well, this is not it. There's a next step. There's got to be something else. And there was somebody always there with another opinion to help me to what that next step would be. But it was always without Jesus. And then when I got saved, it's like Spirit of God just started leading me, guiding me, and directing me. It was at that time that the only thing I knew to say was this: God, I know you got a plan for my life. I have no idea what it is, but you do. I just ask you, just totally take over, because I just surrendered my whole life to you. And I need you to take over, because I've made a mess of my life. You can be successfully successful outside, but on the inside, you can be dying. On the inside, you can have still no hope and trying to figure out all the stuff that I've got and all the stuff that I have or don't have. Is that what life is about? The people who don't have stuff is always trying to get it from the people who do. What kind of warped mentality is that? Think about it. No, it's this. God says, I give you Jesus. I give you Jesus. I give you my son. I give you forgiveness. I give you redemption. And I reconcile you back to me, that you're no longer separate. You're no longer enemies. And you'll be no longer subject to my wrath of the punishment of sin. That's incredible. And when you leave this earth, you will come home. This is not my home. I will be home one day, but this is not my home. I'm not ready to go there yet, because I got a lot still to do. And there's a lot of people that still need to be saved and need to be healed, free from walkers, free from... There's too many people that need the love of Jesus. And right now, I want to give you that invitation from God Himself. Here in this auditorium, viewing us, listen, you can go all your life, and some of you, just like me, you did, you can go for years and years. You're not going to be fulfilled. It's an impossibility. And let me say this. I'm not talking about church, and I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about relationship. When you come into relationship, yes, church, that's created by Jesus. Jesus said, I will build my church. We're here to disciple. We're here to community, come together as family. But God said, you belong to me, and sin and the devil stole you. I have redeemed you. In other words, I have purchased you to come back. I have purchased you through my son, through his blood, so that you could come back into my family. And it has nothing to do with what you've done. Nothing to do with that. Has nothing to do with your works. Has nothing to do with what you've done, who you have been. Listen to this statement. The devil knows your name, but he always calls you by your sin and your past. God forgives your sin and calls you according to your real name. Righteous, forgiven, reconciled. The devil will always call you by your past, and always, you can know that's the devil, because God will never bring up your past. He will never bring up your sin, because he forgives you. Only the devil would put those in your head to try to make you feel like you're worthless, you're no good, and then you try to do more and more and more to try to be acceptable to God. You cannot be any more acceptable to God than what Jesus did for you on the cross. He made you acceptable. You are acceptable to God. Always have been. Always will be. And you, no matter mistakes we make and things, he does not love us less, because he's not like a thermometer. He is love. He stays consistent. He never changes. But in that love, he will move upon our hearts, because when we get into something that we know that he knows that's going to harm us or harm people around us, then he will move on our hearts to bring us to repentance. because he continues to love us. Paul said he was the chief of sinners. When I read that in the Bible, I said, I think that in the modern day, I may have been one of those. A chief sinner. I mean, my life was crazy. Where's Chris? Chris was here. There's Chris right over there. Chris was in the sheriff's department, and he heard me talk about my life and how crazy I was and how mean I was and what a sinner I was, and he drove to my hometown. Huh? Yeah, he used to patrol that area, and he said, he's an investigator. So he said, I'm just going to check out and just see if Pastor was really like that. And he went and he stopped, and the first person, I think if I'm correct, first person he asked, said, Al Bryce is my pastor. And he looked at him like, would you say that one more time? What? Like that? And then Chris came back and told me, he said, you haven't even told us anything compared to what that man said about you. But listen to me, Jesus saved me. Jesus saved me. And you know how he saved me? Listen to this. There were people in a Bible study praying for one of the biggest hail raisers from North Carolina to Myrtle Beach. Praying for me. Interceding for me. And then one of them invited me to come to their Bible study. And I had no idea it was an ambush and a setup. But I made a decision to go because I did it for an alternative reason. Because the girl who had invited me was someone that I wanted to go down to the beach with. And she said, if you'll come with me on Tuesday night, then I will consider going to the beach with you on Friday night. And then she made this statement, if you still want to go. I was sitting there going, of course I know. Yeah, I'm going to go. You know? And you're going to go with me because I'm going to go to that place. And I went into that Bible study and I sat down. And I had never in my life experienced, I did not know what the presence of God was. I did not. When I went into that Bible study, because they had been interceding and praying for me, when I went in, I felt the conviction, but I felt something that I'd never felt before. I felt a love that I had never known. I didn't know where it was coming from. I thought these people were radiating something off their bodies or something. I had no idea. I didn't know where it was coming from. And I sat down, and this gentleman got up, and he simply took a message. And basically, he went through John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. And he just taught on that a little bit concerning the love of God. And the next thing I know, he said, everybody bow your head. Well, I didn't know everybody in that room was saved but me. And everybody bowed their head. And he said, if you want to have a brand new life, because what they did not know, I was so unfulfilled on the inside of my life. I didn't care if I lived another day. I did some of the dumbest things that you ever would think of in your life, and I could care less whether I died or not. And if I had died, I would have busted hell wide open. But I didn't know that. I didn't understand that. I didn't know that. And when I sit in that place, and he gave and just said, God will forgive you of all your sins. And he'll give you a brand new life. And he will fulfill you. And I can feel it right now, just like I felt it that night. And he will come in. And I was an alcoholic. And I was into drugs and all kinds of things. And that night,
my hand went up, and I thought everybody was raising their hands. And when I raised my hand, I looked around and nobody was raising their hands. And I said, these people are crazy. Why don't they want this? I didn't know they already had it. And I raised my hand. And he said, if you have your hand raised and you're serious, I want you to come up here and I'm going to pray for you. I got up, I went there, and he prayed for me. And that night, I was completely, totally delivered from all alcohol, from all drugs, from everything. Everything. And I remembered as vivid, I can see it in my own mind. I remembered, and I always remember, there's so many times that I'll sit down and start praying, and I'll start thanking God, because I remember the times that I should have been dead. I had a dad that prayed for me. I would hear him praying for me in the mornings when I would get up and get ready to go to work, and I would just think, yeah, right, that's not going to happen. Look where I am now. Look what God did. I mean, hello. And that's the reason this church has been built off praying for the lost. Because I know what it is to be lost. And I will never forget that. I can't forget it. I can't forget what God delivered me out of and how he set me free. And I thank him every single day. That's the reason I just still have such a fire and compassion. After I got saved, I remember that they said, now you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You need the power of God like it is in the book of Acts. And I said, whatever you got and whatever else I need, I'll take all of it, because I knew what had just happened to me. And they started praying for me. One person on my back, one person on my shoulder, and they were saying, hey, hold on, brother. Let go, brother. Hold on, brother. I didn't know whether I was to let go, hold on. I didn't, and everybody was praying in a language that I had never heard in my life, and I was just sitting there and didn't know what was going on. And long story short, this older gentleman who eventually took me under his wing and discipled me. Some of you folks that got some age on you, there's a bunch of young people that need discipling like I was. And I'll tell you, the power of community coming together in a house, praying for people, is powerful. And in that little Bible study, I grew and learned so much of the Bible that I didn't know anything about. It's amazing. It's amazing what happened. I went home that night. And this gentleman took me aside and he said, son, he said, you just get on your knees in your bedroom when you get home and just say, Lord, baptize me with the Holy Spirit and with fire. I said, okay. I had no idea what that meant. I said, okay, I'll do it. I got home. I'll never forget this. It's as clear as it was that day and that night. I got home. I'd stay there and socialize. So I got home, because the Bible study was in South Carolina. I live in North Carolina. And so I got home, and it was around 12 o'clock. It was around midnight. And because Christian folks can talk a long time. That's what I found out. And they can eat a lot of chicken, too, which I love. So I got home. I just did, just simple, just real simple. I went in, got on my knees. I said, I didn't know how to pray. I didn't know how to talk to the Lord. He just told me to use the name Lord. So I said, okay. So I just got down on my knees, didn't know what to expect. And I said, Lord, what he told me, with the baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire, what that man told me, And I went, okay. And the next thing I know, the presence of God, the Spirit of God came on me. And the next thing that I know, there is a language coming out of my mouth that I had never heard in my life. It's like a river coming out of me. There was the presence of God, like it was even up more decibels than it was there in the Bible study. And I'm sitting there, and this spiritual language is coming out of my mouth. Some of the things that I heard when the people were praying for me, but didn't make sense to me, coming out of my mouth. And I'm just sitting there. I have tears coming down. I'm just saying, look, Jesus, I love you. Just coming out of my mouth. And then all of a sudden, I just like a wet rag just collapsed. I had been told all my life that speaking in tongues was of the devil. I've been told a lot of things was of the devil that I found out was not of the devil. I thought to myself, I was no genius back then, but even though I had a college education, but I thought to myself, if all this stuff is the devil, why am I not hearing all this stuff in the bars? Heard it in a church where people loved Jesus with all their heart. And I started studying the Bible, and I found out that every place in the book of Acts where people got born again, they were prayed for the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And it happened every single time. And then I realized that in the book of Acts, there is no amen at the end. Because the Holy Spirit has not stopped doing what He did on the day of Pentecost. He's still doing the same. Why? Because Jesus is the one who sent Him. Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit and with fire. And the Bible says in Hebrews 13:8 that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never and what He was doing on the day of Pentecost, He's still doing today. And He will still continue to do it until we all get to heaven. And I found out that being able to pray in tongues. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14th chapter, it says when you pray in tongues, or you speak in tongues, you speak directly to God. And then I found out that it builds you up. It's like it's like a dynamo. It's like a battery recharger. And I found out also that in my life, the things that I didn't know, directions and stuff, I will start praying in the Holy Spirit. And things would start being revealed to me concerning my destiny, concerning things in my life. And the Word of God, as I prayed in the Spirit, the Word of God would come alive. It would just explode on the inside of me. And I remember the Apostle Paul saying in 1 Corinthians 14th chapter, he says, I pray in tongues. He's talking to a church that he had to bring order to the service because all they were doing in service was praying in tongues. And he had to bring order to it and said, no, you need to teach the Word of God. You know. And then he made this statement. He said, I pray in tongues more than all of you. And I said, glory to God. I want to do that. I want to be there. So today, walking with the Lord, 50 years, I'm still praying fervently and passionately in the Spirit. I've not stopped. No such thing. You can retire on the outside, but on the inside, there is no retirement. I don't set aside those things. I continue. Like this morning, I woke up. I woke up real early thinking that the alarm is getting ready to go off. And I looked and I said, well, it's not time yet. And I went back to sleep, tried to go back to sleep because I couldn't wait till the alarm got up, because that means that the alarm gets up. Number one, the coffee's ready. Number two, I'm getting ready to get into the presence, get in with my Father to get in.
to love on Him and to worship Him and to praise Him and to get into His Word and to spend all that time just praying in the Spirit, praying for this service, praying in the Spirit, and God began to drop and deposit on the inside of my heart for healing, for the depression, for the direction. He said, I'll tell you when to do it. Just get up and do it. That's when you got to trust 100% what God says. And just do it. And I've been doing it ever since. I'll never stop doing it. I don't care how crazy people think I am. I love it when people think I'm crazy. Hey, why are you so crazy? Because I'm a Jesus freak. That's it. I'll be on fire for God when I'm 100 years old, unless Jesus comes back, and I think that could be any time. So the Lord, you may think He's finished right now, but He's not. Just like me in that Bible study, all over this auditorium, those viewing us by live streaming, if you want to receive the forgiveness of God, you want to be filled with the love of God and the peace of God and the joy of God, and you really want to know what life is all about, because the Bible says when you receive Jesus as the Lord of your life, you become a new creature, just like I did. I'm not talking about religion. I want you to get religion. You may grew up with religion, but I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about coming into a relationship with the living God, with Jesus and the Holy Spirit of the living God. It's the greatest moment in the universe, the greatest moment in your life. If you're bound by alcohol like I was, He will deliver you right now. If you're bound up with drugs, regardless of what it is, He will deliver you right now. If you're hung up with the spirit of lust and pornography and things like that, He will deliver you right now. He's here. He's ready to deliver you right now. He's ready to forgive you. He's ready to come to live on the inside of you so you will know what He has and where He will take you and what He wants to do with your life. He will do that. Every eye open, every head up. If you want to be in this prayer to receive Jesus. And let me say this. You may have been in religion and you may have thought you knew God, but you really don't. Because I led my mom to the Lord at 87 years old. She'd been in church for 60 some years and was never saved. She thought she was, because she joined the church. She joined the church and she did all kinds of good works, and she thought she was saved. And then she realized, once I read the scripture to her, she says, I'm not saved. Maybe that's you. Maybe you grew up in a Christian family. That doesn't mean you're saved. You can go sit in the Ford showroom all night long. In the morning, you're not going to be a Ford. You can sit in church. You can join the church. But unless Jesus has come, unless you have confessed Jesus as the Lord of your life, you're not saved. You may be a great person, a good person, but unless you have confessed Jesus and received Him into your life, you're not saved. Maybe you knew Him one time, but you got away from Him and you backslid. He wants you to repent of your sins, and He wants you to come into a relationship. That's what He wants. Not religion. Religion's mean. Religion tells you all the things that you have to do when God says, this is what I've done. And if you receive it, it's all yours. If you
you want to be in this prayer, I want you to slip up your hand. If you're in any of those categories, thank you. God bless you. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. Yes, God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Yes. Yes, God bless you. Yes, God bless you. Thank you. Yes, God bless you. Thank you. Sir, look at me. When I was standing up here, God had me pray for you. I was praying for you up here. God just put you in like a frame. God's got some great things for you in your life. I know you have seen some things. I know you've seen some things and stuff, but you're going to have a major relationship with Jesus. And you know something else? You're an influencer. You're going to have a major influence for the kingdom of God on people. He's going to change your life. I am so excited I could jump off this and just run over there and hug you. I'm so excited for you. Anybody else that you haven't raised your hand? Anybody else? Yes, God bless. Yes. Anyone else? Anyone else? Yes. Thank you. God bless you. Anybody else? Man, this just... Yes, God bless you. Anybody? Yes, God bless you. Jeez. Look at what God does. Anybody else? Those of you that are viewing, raise your hand. Just raise your hand. Raise your hand. He knows where you are, all over the world. Anybody else before we pray? I'm getting ready to pray. Anybody else? Yes, God bless you. Thank you. This is a great day. This is a great, yes, God bless you. Thank you. This is a great day. This is a great day. Anybody else? Yes, God bless you. Jeez, whiz. I thank God that God brought you. I thank God that we had people here praying last night and at homes, in our homes of prayer, houses of prayer, praying for you. Anybody else before we pray? Anybody else? All right, all that you raise your hands, we're going to pray. And all of us are going to pray with you because you're coming into the family. Amen. The family of God. You're coming into the family. So all of you that raise your hands, just raise both hands to the Lord right now. Just raise them up, Bo, and just pray with me out loud, and we're all going to pray with you. Father God, I love you. Thank you for loving me when I was not even lovable. But you loved me, and you found me because I was lost. I thank you for your son, Jesus. I thank you that he died on the cross for me, took my sin upon himself so that I could be forgiven. I repent of all my sin, and I ask your forgiveness in the name of Jesus. And today, unashamedly, I confess Jesus Christ as the Lord of my life. Thank you, Father, for saving me, because I needed a Savior. Thank you for saving me. And I now give you praise, and I give you glory, and I give you honor in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, and amen, and amen, and amen, and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now we're going to have communion. All of you that prayed, you have communion with us now. Amen. The communion, of course, represents the blood of Jesus, the cross, the blood of Jesus. The bread represents his broken body that brought healing to every single one of us. Hey, by the way, let me say something to you. I didn't get into it this morning, I really knew. I tried to have notes for this morning, but the more I prayed, the more I knew God was just going to do something else. And I don't even know what, I don't know what that means until I get here. But I totally trust my Father, and I trust the Holy Spirit. But I have got on my notes, which will, I'm going to have them put it up. It's a study on the cross and what happened on the cross, and it's all of the words and the definition of the words for Isaiah 53. All of it. You get all of the words that are there, and I want you to see the notes, because I want you to recognize and understand that sickness and disease is from the devil. It is not from God, it's from the devil. And when you see my notes, I'm telling you, it's something you can share with other people to set them free from the bondages that the devil has kept them in, and these mindsets, these traditional type of mindsets. So I want you to do that. And I need my little Donald. Thank you. Y'all give Donald a big praise, God. This man has been with us all the way back to the Merck. And for those of you who don't understand that, Murkison Road. So, and the shopping center where we began. And he has been a faithful man. It doesn't matter if it's raining, snowing, ice, he's always there. Donald, I love you very much. And I thank God for all of our volunteers. Thank you for all that you do, every volunteer in this church. Thank you so much. So the Bible says that Jesus, when he was having the supper with his disciples about his death and his resurrection, the Bible says he took the bread. Before he broke it, he gave thanks. Father, thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for taking all of our sickness, all of our disease, all of our infirmities, all of our torment, all of our pains. You took everything upon yourself, all of our anxiety, all of our worry, all of our depression. You took everything. Lord, you even took PTSD. You took it. You took everything known to man. You took it on the cross. And we thank you for healing. We thank you for deliverance. Bible says he broke it and said, "This is my body which is broken for you. Eat." The Bible says he took the cup and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. And as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Ladies and gentlemen, he is coming back. And I think it's very soon in what we see. Amen. This represents the covenant, all the promises, everything. God's not a man that he should lie. He's the Lord. He never changes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.